This fall, we're doing a series of messages in Isaiah. Today, we're on chapters 24 to 27. Now, you may say to yourself, wait a minute, last week we were on 11. Did I miss a week? What happened there? No, you did not miss a week. We just figured that you probably wouldn't want 66 Sundays on Isaiah, so we've done some condensing. I hear a lot of rustling pages, which is great. If you haven't been to Isaiah lately, turn to Psalms in the middle of the Old Testament, okay? Then Proverbs, then Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. I feel compelled to say just a few words about chapters 13 to 23. In those chapters, Isaiah is basically judging nations that God has used to punish Israel and Judah. When you read those chapters, you can't help but be amazed at the sovereignty of God. He takes these leaders of nations and uses them to punish Israel and Judah for their lack of obedience to Him, and specifically for idol worship. Then He turns around in chapters 13 to 23, and He says, I'm going to punish those nations that have fought against Israel and Judah. And secular history tells us and shows us, as the Scriptures say, it all happened. Those nations rose, they fought against Israel and Judah, and then God did away with them. It's amazing. So you can read chapters 13 to 22, 23. Today we're on 24, and we're still on judgment. But this is a judgment yet to come. Seven times in these four chapters it says, in that day, in that day, in that day. It never tells you exactly when that day is. It just says, in that day. But we know, given the content, and you'll see why in a minute, these things have not happened yet. So Isaiah was written 700 to 740 B.C. That means 2,700 years ago. And these prophecies were made, and most of the ones that we're going to cover today have still not happened. But a lot of other things that Isaiah prophesied has happened. And Christ referred to these prophecies and He said they're going to happen. So let's listen to what He has to say. Just want you to remember that they're all still future. And these prophecies, predictions, if you want to call them that, using today's words, were made 2,700 years ago and written down for our edification. Now chapter, now that you're at 24, turn back to 22. This helps set the context. This is at the end of all His judgments against these different nations. And He says in verse 12, 22:12, the Lord Almighty, called you to weep and mourn. He told you to shave your heads in sorrow for your sins and to wear clothes of sackcloth to show your remorse. But instead, you dance and play. You slaughter sacrificial animals, feast on the meat, and drink wine. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, you say. What's the difference? For tomorrow we die. Did you know that came from the Bible 2,700 years ago? You just thought that was a current expression. The Lord Almighty has revealed to me that this sin will never be forgiven you until the day you die. This is the judgment of the Lord Almighty. And then we get to chapter 24. The prophet Isaiah in these four chapters is saying some absolutely amazing things. Words are going to fail me this morning to express these. But my hope is that you will read these words, that if you're already a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will encourage you and you will enjoy digging into the book of Isaiah. But in this chapter are five amazing events. The first one is the destruction of the earth. The second one is the casting of fallen angels out of heaven. There are fallen angels in heaven. The third it talks about is the return of Christ and His rule in Jerusalem. The fourth thing this section talks about is the end of death. And the fifth thing it talks about is casting Satan into hell forever. Did you get that? Now you know why words are going to fail me. It's going to destroy the earth. He's going to cast fallen angels out of heaven. He's going to return and rule in Jerusalem. He's going to put an end to death. And He's going to cast Satan into hell. That's all in these four chapters. So let's talk a little bit about each one. First one is, He's going to destroy the earth someday, in that day. 24, the first six verses. Let me read them to you. This is New Living Translation that I'm reading. Look, the Lord is about to destroy the earth and make it a vast wasteland. See how He is scattering the people over the face of the earth. Priests and lay people, servants and masters, maids and mistresses, buyers and sellers, lenders and borrowers, bankers and debtors. None will be spared. The earth will be completely emptied and looted. The Lord has spoken. The earth dries up. The crops wither. The skies refuse to rain. The earth suffers for the sins of its people. For they have twisted the instructions of God, violated His laws, and broken His everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth and its people. They are left desolate, destroyed by fire. Few will be left alive. Wow. So, what is going to happen in that day? The Lord is going to destroy the earth. It's going to become a wasteland. It's going to be emptied. It's going to be looted. Who is going to be impacted? Everyone. I think that's the point of verse 2, priests and lay people, servants and masters, maids, everybody. No group is excluded. The rich are not excluded, the powerful are not excluded, the lowly are not excluded. Everybody is going to be impacted by this. How is it going to be done? He says, it's not going to rain. The crops are not going to grow. There's not going to be any harvest. And then there will be a fire. It will be burned by fire. When? When is this going to happen? Seven times in these four chapters it says, in that day. Never tells you exactly when that day is. There are a couple of hints, but he doesn't just come flat out and say, it's going to be 2048 or 3016. He just says, in that day. And remember, this was prophesied 2,700 years ago by Isaiah. Why is this going to happen? Because of the sins of the people. Verse 5. They have twisted the instructions of God, violated His laws, and broken His everlasting covenant. When Isaiah gave this prophecy, the children of Israel had basically broken every one of the Ten Commandments, if you read the previous chapters. The most grievous sin to the Lord was violating commandment number one and commandment number two of the Ten Commandments. Do you remember that? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number two, thou shalt not worship other gods, nor should thou make them, and blah, blah, blah. That's what Israel was doing. They were making gods out of wood and stone and iron and worshiping them, which was an affront to the Jehovah God. Of course, all of that is summarized in Deuteronomy 6:5 by what the Lord said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with all thy strength. And Jesus repeated Deuteronomy 6:5 in Matthew 37-39. He repeated it when asked, what is the greatest commandment? So these people were not worshiping God. And He said, because of this, there will be an end to the earth. Now, there are a number of other things in chapter 24 that will happen. I'm just going to cover these quickly. In verses 7 to 9, it says, the joys of life will be gone. Specifically mentions festivals at harvest, wine, music, singing. Those things will be gone when this happens. And it says in 10 to 13 that the cities will wreathe in chaos. There will be looters, there will be mobs, the city will be ruined, it will be devastated, the gates will be battered down. It's going to be widespread destruction. But I love Scripture. It says, but in 14 to 16 it says, and this is Isaiah speaking, he says, my heart is heavy with grief, I am discouraged, for evil still prevails and treachery is everywhere. You can imagine how he felt giving this prophecy. You can imagine how I feel today. I said, are people going to believe this? But this is not me. This is Isaiah, 2,700 years ago, speaking for God. And it applies to today. One of the things that you will notice in verse 6 and in verse 13, that there will be a few left. We refer to that as the remnant. There will be a remnant. Not all will be destroyed. The second thing in this passage that
Isaiah prophesies is that in that day, the Lord will punish the fallen angels in heaven. Now, some people might kind of, fallen angels in heaven. I take this to mean what it talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 12, it talks about there are wicked spirits in heavenly realms. Chapter 6 of Ephesians is about our spiritual war between God and Satan. And it says that our war is a spiritual war. It's a war against the forces of God and the forces of evil. And the forces of evil are the wicked spirits in heavenly places. What Isaiah calls fallen angels. They will be punished. The third thing that you find in this section of Scripture is that the Lord is going to return and rule in Jerusalem. You find this in 24 verse 23. It says, after the fallen angels are taken care of, then it says, the Lord Almighty will mount His throne on Mount Zion. He will rule gloriously in Jerusalem in sight of all the leaders of His people. There will be such glory and brightness of the sun and moon will seem to fade away. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. He is going to rule and reign. The person that Sandy talked about last week from Isaiah 11, the root out of the stump of David is going to return. He's righteous. He's just. He knows the difference between good and evil. He's a great counselor. He's powerful. All the things that Sandy talked about last week. That person, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to return and sit on the throne in Jerusalem. And notice it says that His glory will be brighter than the sun and the moon. We won't see the sun and the moon because it will be faded away because of the brightness of Christ. In Revelation, it tells us that Christ is going to illuminate the world. The Lamb is going to do that. So we will no longer need the sun and the moon. And when He returns, there will be a party. There will be a feast. Well-aged wine. My Bible says choice beef, but that's just a modern translation. I really think it'll be goat and lamb. But maybe then, maybe it will be choice beef. But one thing that we are going to do is we are going to sing. We are going to sing praises to the Lord. And in fact, that's what all of chapter 26 is. Chapter 26, it starts with, in that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing this song. It's an amazing song. We're going to sing because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and who He is. We're going to sing. Last week, Sandy had a song in his section, chapter 12. That's another song. He didn't talk about it. I've been convinced this week, just from reading a lot in Isaiah, just how critical
song and singing is to the worship of our Most High God. It's all over the Scriptures. And there's nothing greater than coming here. Well, there are a few things greater. But it's great to come here on Sunday morning and just listen to people sing to our Lord and sing of His greatness and His power and His wonder. Someday, we're all going to do that together. The fourth thing that is going to be done away with when the Lord returns is death. In this world now, that's something we all face. The older I get, the more I realize the closer it is. And it impacts how I think and hopefully what I do. But in 25:7, it says, 25 verse 7, in that day, again, it says, in that day, He will remove the cloud of doom, the shadow of death that hangs over the earth. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He will remove forever all insults and mockery against His land and people. The Lord has spoken. I want you to, speaking of death, I want you to look in the song in chapter 26, the last verse of the song. Verse 19, it talks about death. In Isaiah 26:19, it says, we have this assurance. Those who belong to God will live. Their bodies will rise again. Those who sleep in the earth will rise up and sing for joy. For God's light of life will fall like dew on His people in the place of the dead. The next time you hear somebody quote Ephesians 4, or 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18 at a gravesite, think about this verse. God is not going to forget us. He is, if we pass before that day comes, He is going to rise us again and we are going to sing to Him of His majesty and wonderful attributes and greatness. And the last thing this chapter says is something very amazing in 27:1. In that day, again, the Lord will take His terrible swift sword and punish Leviathan, the swiftly moving serpent, the coiling, wreathing serpent, the dragon of the sea. Who is that? That is Satan. So in that day, the Lord is going to cast Satan into hell forever. Into the lake of fire. In Matthew 25:41, Jesus says, away to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. I cannot wait for that day. I will have to. But I look forward to that day when I do not have to deal with my own sin from within me, from any of temptations, from Satan's fallen angels, or from Satan himself. They will all be done away. And we will sing to the Lord because He has done this. So in that day,
He's going to destroy the earth, cast out the fallen angels, return and rule in Jerusalem, conquer death forever, and cast Satan into hell. You can tell this is not a Baptist church. Amen. Okay? He is going to do this. What should our response be to this 2,700-year-old prophecy that has not been fulfilled yet? What should it be? There are a number of ways that you can respond to this. You can respond the way that the Lord desired the children of Israel and Judah to respond. He gave them lots of time. He warned them. He said, repent. Turn. Turn to the Lord. Look at verse 9 in chapter 25. This is what the Lord wants. He wants us to say, this is our God. We trusted in Him, and He saved us. This is the Lord in whom we trusted. Let us rejoice in the salvation He brings. Let us rejoice in the salvation that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty for our sin as a substitute. It makes it possible for us, through faith and trust in Him, to have our sins covered and come to Him. The Holy, Holy, Holy One. That's what He would like us to respond. How did they respond? Let's party. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we may die. And so, eventually, God took care of them, used other nations to totally demolish them, because they refused His warnings. Now, that should be an encouragement to you. We have Isaiah, 2,700 and some years ago, giving these prophecies, telling people, this is what's going to happen if you don't repent. Lo and behold, they happen to God's chosen people who have rejected Him. He comes, He brings the Assyrian army and nation, and they take off the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom. That ended in 722 BC. They came, they took them away. God said, that's what's going to happen. They didn't believe it. Here they came, and they took them away. Then Isaiah said, Judah, the same thing is going to happen to you. Capital of Judah is Jerusalem. It's the center. It's going to happen. Oh, God, yeah. Never to us. And so for another 200 years, they ignored Him. And what happened? God raised up the Babylonians. And they came, and they hauled Judah off to Babylon for 70 years. God's word is true. He will do what He said He will do. The other prophecies that we have in Isaiah, I like to refer to them as bolts of lightning in the midst of a tremendous storm. We had a bolt in Isaiah 6. Where God called Isaiah, bolt of lightning. Everything else around it is judgment and gloom. Then we have another one in Isaiah 7 about a child being born to a virgin. Then we have another one in Isaiah 9. Then we have another one in Isaiah 11 that Sandy talked about last week. And as we go through Isaiah, we're going to have a whole bunch more of them talking about Christ and this Messiah that's coming. And when he came in agreement with all these prophecies in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and other places. But he came exactly as they said he would. 700 years earlier, they said this. And he fulfilled them. And then, just before he went to the cross, Jesus said in the end of chapter 23 in Matthew, he says, as he's getting ready to ride into Jerusalem on that donkey, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I've called you, but you won't come. I'm like a hen. I would like to have my chicks under my wings, but you will not come. You have refused me." And then we go to chapter 24, which is the teaching about Christ's second coming. This day that we're talking about today, his second coming. And in thinking about how to conclude this morning, I thought, well, maybe I should conclude with what Jesus concluded about this day. Because in Matthew 24, he repeats a lot of the things that you find in Ezekiel 24, 25, 26, and 27. Especially the casting out of Satan and the binding him and the end. And then, what is his application? What does Jesus say you should do with this information? Like everybody else, the disciples ask the question that we ask. When is the day? The disciples said, when is this going to happen? And Jesus' response to them was, the angels in heaven don't know. I don't know. Only the Father knows. But it is going to happen. We just don't know when. And then Jesus tells, like he always does, four stories to make a point. And the point is, until that day, we should be watchful. We should be waiting. We should be living in expectation of this day. He tells about the 10 bridesmaids, 5 get ready and 5 don't. And the Lord, the groom shows up unexpected and 5 don't get in. And he tells the story about the guy who develops a vineyard, develops it, leaves it in charge of somebody else, and then goes away. And the servant says, well, the owner's not around. I can do what I want. And so he started treating his work poorly and paying them poorly and everything else. And all of a sudden, the master comes back. Unexpected. And he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. He throws the guy out. Then he tells the story about helping the poor, the lame, the crippled, and the blind. And the disciples said, when do we do this? And he said, if you do it unto the least of mine, you have done it unto me. You are called to serve. And then he goes to the cross for us. What is your response to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? One of the things Jesus said during that discourse in Matthew 23 and 24 is, heaven and earth will pass away,
but my words will never pass away. These prophecies are still true. They will happen. Our Lord is Lord, and He is holy, holy, holy. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank You that this book that we call the Bible is about You and Your Son from the beginning to the end. Genesis 3, we see Satan appear. And in Revelation 21, we see You take care of him. He disappears. He's gone forever. But You, Son, and our Father, will reign here forever. Help us, Father, to have a new appreciation today for the Lord that we serve and that we love. Help us to honor You. In Christ's name, amen.